Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this Monday, March 18th, 2013, as we discuss the world of sports. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next hour, as we are just a day away from the start of another NCAA tournament, as we go from 64, start with 68 teams. Of course, tomorrow you had that first four. The first four, couple of matchups to pare it down to 64. Then, of course, everything begins officially, to me, officially Thursday, when you have everybody, when you have the tournament, to me, kick off in full swing. You'll have basically three-fourths of the tournament done in a matter of 3 days. I mean, a matter of 36 hours. That's always, to me, the first couple of rounds are always the funnest time of the tournament, when you get those upsets in that first, and in particular that second round. First round, you know, you get a couple of upsets here and there, but normally the second round, that's when some of the big schools, some of the top seeds start to fall. If you're going to have a year where there's a lot of upsets, and certainly we're looking forward to that. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com, or follow me, or go to Facebook, or hit me and find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. I didn't have a real problem with the process, the committee, the selection, with some of the seedings. Thought Louisville deserved to be the top seed overall. They finished the season great. They won the conference tournament. Indiana struggled towards the latter part of the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games, not even making it to the final of the Big Ten tournament, which is hard because the Big Ten is top to bottom the best conference, was top to bottom the best conference of the best conference this year. But didn't have any major problems with the number one seeds. You could have had Miami number one over Gonzaga. You easily could have done that. I mean, it does. Listen, I know the ACC has fallen off, but man, you know, you talk about a team that wins the regular season by a couple of games and then goes out there and wins the tournament. Wins the tournament, beats North Carolina three times in a season, beats Duke, you know, beat NC State. I mean, they had some good wins. I mean, they had some bad losses early. One with a couple without Durant Scott. If it were Duke and North Carolina, there's no way that either one of those teams would not have been ranked seeded number one with having swept both the regular season and conference tournaments. But Miami is no North Carolina, and Miami certainly is no Duke. And, they are number two seed. Overall, again, I had no major problems with the seeds. I do have a minor problem with how Kentucky was portrayed, as far as, you know, the Vanderbilt loss just totally dismissing any chance they had to make the tournament. There seemed to be a theme, and Jay Bill has talked about it a lot, that it's not who you play or who you beat, it's who you lose to. And, you know, it seems like the committee penalized teams for bad losses as much as they rewarded teams for good wins. Like Kentucky, you know, that Vanderbilt loss, that was it. I mean, that was Kentucky. You know, it was like the Florida game didn't even happen the week before. I mean, they beat Florida without their best player, without a guy in Nerlens Noel, who could be the number one pick in the draft this June. And everybody wants to talk about is, you know, how they got embarrassed by Vanderbilt. So I have a problem with that. If you're going to tell me that their entire body of work was not good enough, that's one thing. But I have a hard time believing that you could not have put in Kentucky that you have not you that you couldn't find you couldn't even put you could not put in Kentucky in one of those first four games or something. A hard time believing that Kentucky is not one of the best 68 teams in the country based on their entire body of work. I don't think they played terribly without Nerlens Noel. They lost some games, but they didn't. You know, other than that Vanderbilt game, they were in every game. They beat Florida. They, you know, they fought. I didn't think they embarrassed themselves. So, you're a Kentucky fan. Of course, we have a monster recruiting class coming next year. So this time next year, you'll probably be a number one seed. But have to be a little annoyed based on the process if you are a Kentucky fan. More Atlantic 10 teams than there were ACC teams, 5-4. I never thought I'd see the day where that was going to happen. But it just shows you the strength of the Atlantic 10, and just shows you where the ACC is at is right now. It's just not a very good conference, and normally top heavy, where it's going to be Duke, North Carolina, you know, or some surprise team like Miami that pops up every so often, or Florida State every so often. So ACC not in a good place right now, but that will change next year once they get Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and then the year after that getting Louisville. So, you know, that'll certainly change with time, as the ACC will be a major powerhouse this time next year. We're going to go through the brackets. We'll start off with the East bracket. These games will take place in, as I look at the bracket here, Dayton, Ohio, San Jose, California, Lexington, Kentucky, and Austin, Texas. The East Regional will be in the DMV, Washington, D.C. Indiana, number one seed in the East Region, probably the second seed overall, will certainly have its way with either LIU Brooklyn or James Madison. So I have Indiana advancing to the third round. It's called the second round. They call it the third round. So it's really a second round, but it technically is the third round. I'll take NC State over Temple. That's hard for me considering I'm a Temple grad, but NC State is one of these teams where they underachieve. Probably NC State has top 10, top 15 talent. They just had a bad year, had trouble winning on the road, didn't play well in the conference, but they are a very dangerous team. So I have them facing Indiana in the round of 32 in an 8-1 game, which always can be entertaining. I have UNLV over California, Syracuse over Montana. Really no surprises there. So UNLV taking on Syracuse in the second round. Go further along. A lot of people like Bucknell over Butler. I don't. I'll take the pedigree and the two Final Fours that Butler has been in the past couple of years over Bucknell, which I know had an upset win over Kansas a few years back. I believe it was in 2006, when Bucknell beat Kansas. That's when Bucknell beat Kansas. It might have even been before that. I think Roy Madden, matter of fact, Roy Williams might have still been there. I'm trying to think what that year was, in 2003. When they beat him 2003 or 2004, well, Williams was at North Carolina. It might have been 2003. And Bucknell beat Kansas a few years back. That will not happen to Butler. I think Butler will take out Bucknell. I have Marquette over Davidson. Then you go further along. I'll take the upset, Colorado, if you want to call that, over Illinois. You know, Illinois is coming from a better conference. And, of course, Miami will have its way with Pacific. That'll set up matchups. I think Marquette will take on Miami. I'll take Marquette over Butler. That'll be a very good game, but I like Marquette's toughness and their physicality. Indiana over NC State. This will be a brutal game. I mean, this will be a riot. This game, I'm telling you, this is going to be as physical of a game as you will see. Keep in mind that NC State is a team, again, very underachieving team, but these are the type of teams that kind of fall through the cracks. Those teams that had, you know, big time hopes during the course of the year, they underachieve and people forget about them. I think NC State matches up very well against Indiana, but I think Indiana has just a little bit too much experience. Their experience from last year, of course, they lost to Kentucky, played well in that game. their experience and they're more talented. But that'll be a very good game. Would not be shocked to see NC State beat Indiana. So I have Indiana moving on to the Elite Eight, where they will face the Miami Hurricanes. I'll take Miami over Marquette, which should be a very very good game. I just think Miami has just too much balance for Marquette. Miami has a number of guys that can score. I mean, you talk about Scott and Kojo and Shane Larkin, and you know, they have guys that can score from all over the court. They have at least five legitimate scorers on the court at the same time that can shoot, that can pass, they can get up and down the court. They can get up and down the court. They're athletic. Shane Larkin could be the most dynamic point guard in the league. That guy in the tournament. So it should be a very good game. But I'll take Miami over Marquette to set up a matchup with Indiana. And I have to be honest with you, and maybe because I see them more, because ACC country, I like Miami. I was very impressed with what Miami did this weekend. Been very impressed with Miami all year long. They're poised. They have a bunch of seniors, but you know, they have at least two or three six-year seniors. The average age is probably like 22 in their starting lineup. Indiana, I have not been impressed with this year. I thought they should have had a better year. I know they were in a tough Big Ten conference, but did not like the way Indiana finished the season at all. I like Miami in a game. That should be a very high-scoring, entertaining game. I think Miami, the reason why Miami wins that game is because of the point guard matchup. Larkin will dominate any point guard that Indiana has. That's, to me, the difference in the matchup. Miami, from an athletic standpoint, can match up with Indiana. They can match up with Indiana's shooters. I like Miami in a very close game to take the East region and advance to the Final Four. When we return, we'll go down south, Kansas, North Carolina, potential matchup. Georgetown in the bracket as well. We'll take a look at the southern bracket, at the South region on this latest edition of the Silver Quill Review. We'll be right back. Call number as we look at the field of 68 2013 NCAA tournament. The road to Atlanta begins tomorrow with the first four first round of the NCAA tournament. Also tomorrow and Wednesday as well, you'll have Boise State, you have North Carolina A&T and Liberty, Middle Tennessee versus St. Mary's. Then the following day you'll have Boise State taking on LaSalle, James Madison taking on LIU Brooklyn. So those will be the four matchups for the first four as the field will get narrowed down to 64. We'll get narrowed down to 64 before Thursday's action kicks off. South region, Kansas City, the sites will be Kansas City, Missouri, Auburn Hills, Michigan, Austin, Texas, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for the second and third rounds. And then the regionals Sweet 16 Elite Eight will be in North Texas. Kansas, number one seed, should have its way over Western Kentucky. So I'll take Kansas over Western Kentucky. I'll take UNC over Villanova, over a very scrappy Villanova team. Should be a very interesting game. But I like North Carolina, the way they've been playing down the stretch in that game. I'll take VCU over Akron. A lot of people like VCU to go far in this tournament, considering the run that they had in 2011. I don't blame you. And Shaka Smart's one of the best young coaches in college basketball. Michigan over South Dakota State. I'll take that. So you'll have a matchup. I see Kansas, North Carolina, and VCU and Michigan is two great. If you get those will be two great third-round matchups, round 32 matchups. I'm taking Minnesota over UCLA. I'm not in love with UCLA whatsoever. They have a player that's hurt, a key player that's hurt, that won't play in the tournament. Minnesota, again, in the same category to me as NC State, as far as one of those teams that had a great beginning and kind of fell off towards the end, but is capable of beating any team in the country on a given night. They beat Indiana. They've had some very good wins over the course of the season. Watch out for Minnesota. I like Florida, of course, over Northwestern State. I'll take San Diego State over Oklahoma and, of course, Georgetown over Florida Gulf Coast, despite the fact that Florida Gulf Coast beat Miami earlier in the season. That, of course, was without Duran Scott. I'll take Kansas over North Carolina. I think North Carolina is very good, but I think Kansas has too much size for North Carolina. And North Carolina's not the type of team that gives Kansas problems. The teams that give Kansas problems are those in tournament play have been the mid-majors. So Kansas actually has played well against the better-known program. So I expect them to get past North Carolina. VCU over Michigan. I'm not in love with Michigan. Michigan does not have – I think VCU can neutralize Michigan's guards. I don't know. Michigan just has no size whatsoever. And I haven't been in love with Michigan over the past couple of weeks either. So that's just a Kansas-VCU matchup in the Sweet 16. I will take Florida over Minnesota. That would be a very good game. Would not be shocked if Minnesota took out Florida, but I like Florida's experience. Florida's been in the last two Elite Eights. And I'm taking Georgetown over San Diego State, which has set up a very good Sweet 16. Georgetown, Florida, I'm taking Florida. You can go either way with this, but again, Florida to me, you know, it's now or never for them as far as I'm concerned in terms of this particular group with Boynton and Rosario and Young and company. They've been close the last couple of years. You can make a case that both years they should have been in the Final Four. So I like them over Georgetown, though Georgetown is a very tough team and a great defensive team. I don't know if they can score enough points to beat Florida. And my first upset of a number one seed, I'm taking VCU over Kansas. Kansas, as I mentioned earlier, has had a history of struggling with these teams, whether it be Northern Iowa, Bucknell. Remember, VCU beat Kansas a couple of years ago in 2011 in the regional final. So a couple of those players might still be on those two particular teams. To be honest with you, I think Elijah Johnson was like a freshman, a sophomore or freshman that year. I think he might even be a freshman. But I like VCU over Kansas. So I'll take VCU against Florida, and I will take Florida to beat VCU in advance to the Final Four, to the Final Four. The reason I like Florida, again, Florida, I like teams that get knocked out and come back the next year. I like teams that get knocked out in the Sweet 16 to come back and make the Elite Eight, or teams that get knocked out in the Elite Eight and come back and make it to the Final Four. We've seen it time and time again where a team loses the previous year and comes back with relatively the same team. If they come back with the same team, which Florida basically does, minus Bradley Beal, come back with the same team and get further along in the tournament. I think this will be Florida's year to get back to the Final Four for the first time since they, of course, went back-to-back national championships, won back-to-back national championships in 2006-2007. So I like Florida. So far, Florida and Miami to meet up in the Final Four, to match up in the Final Four. Again, you look at this bracket, this South bracket, a couple of dark horses to watch out for. North Carolina, that can get to a Final Four possibly. I think North Carolina is capable of getting to a Final Four if things break right. They had the talent, they're playing as well. I think Minnesota is a team that can get to a Sweet 16, to an Elite Eight with some of the talent that they have. So keep your eyes on those two teams to possibly make strong runs. North Carolina and UCLA. Excuse me, North Carolina and Minnesota. Keep your eyes on those two teams to possibly upset the apple cart and make far runs. But at the end of the day, I will take Florida to get to the Final Four in the South bracket. When we come back, halfway through, we'll get to the West. We'll go west and get to the Western bracket. We'll go to talk about the West region on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Course action begins tomorrow night with the first four. You'll have tomorrow and also Wednesday. Again, you will have, I'll pull it up here, North Carolina A&T and Liberty, Middle Tennessee State and St. Mary's. Following night, LIU Brooklyn, James Madison, Boise State, and LaSalle on the 19th and 20th, which will lead in to the second round, which will start on the Thursday, the 21st. The second and third rounds will go to the 21st through the 24th. And should be a wild, wild 3 days. Those games tomorrow night will be crazy because those teams, you know, you had a couple of classics. Last year you had a couple of classics. So we're not going to get too hyped over LIU, Brooklyn, and, you know, LaSalle. Listen, one of those teams can make a run. One of those teams can make – remember a couple of years ago, VCU was playing in one of those games. And the people were killing VCU, beginning with me, killing VCU in terms of they shouldn't be there. They win on the first four, and then end up making it to the final four. Beat Kansas in the regional final. Had a great tournament, and almost get to a national championship game. So you never know. I mean, you never know who in that first four amongst those group of teams will do something in the NCAA tournament. To me, they have a slight advantage in terms of there are once Thursday and Friday comes, they're already in tournament mode. Based on what they've done in the first game, in the first round. So, you know, keep your eyes wide. You know, if you're an NCAA basketball fan, watch those games. I mean, those are games that you just don't dismiss because those teams aren't legit national championship contenders. Those should be exciting games. I expect all those games to be close, basically evenly matched teams. I mean, none of those teams are a big time team. So, we'll see what happens with those first four starting tomorrow night going into Wednesday. We're going to go move along now to the West region. Gonzaga, of course, number one seed. I am not in the least bit in love with Gonzaga as a top seed. I think they played a weak schedule this year, but they are the number one seed, 31-2. They should have their way over Southern University, so I expect them to cruise to the third round. Pittsburgh over Wichita State. I like the physicality of Pittsburgh, Big East Conference, though Wichita State has had some moments in the NCAA tournament in the past. I like Wisconsin over Ole Miss, despite the fact that Ole Miss won the SEC tournament. I was not high on the SEC this year by any stretch of the imagination. So I'll take Wisconsin over Ole Miss. And Kansas State over either LaSalle or Boise State, even though I'm not in love with Kansas State this year, I would like them over either one of those teams. My first upset in this region, Belmont over Arizona. Arizona has had a bad year. Remember, Arizona was a preseason top 10 team. They just have not played well in a weak Pac-12 conference. They're a 6 seed. I'll take Belmont to beat them, and I'll take New Mexico over Harvard. I like this New Mexico team a lot. They defend as well as any team in the country, and I will take New Mexico to beat Belmont and get to the Sweet 16. Gonzaga, I will take to get to Sweet 16. I will take Wisconsin over Kansas State. I will take Wisconsin over Kansas State, and I will take Gonzaga over Pittsburgh. So Sweet 16 set up as I like a matchup between on the top half of that bracket with Gonzaga and Wisconsin in the Sweet 16. Bottom half, Notre Dame over Iowa State. A lot of people like Iowa State, but Notre Dame is a very good team. Came out coming out of the Big East. Ohio State over Iona. Notre Dame against Ohio State should be a very interesting matchup. I like Ohio State, like the way they're playing down the stretch, playing better than any team in the Big Ten down the stretch. And that says a lot considering how good that conference. So I like Ohio State to get to the Sweet 16 to take on New Mexico. And I like Ohio State to get to the Elite Eight to take on Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin beats Gonzaga. I'm not in love with Gonzaga at all. Wisconsin and Ohio State were two teams to play as well as any two teams in the country coming down the stretch. That would be a great, great game between those two Big Ten teams that just came off a Big Ten final with Ohio State beating Wisconsin. This time, I like Wisconsin to turn the tables on Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State is that much better than Wisconsin to be able to beat them three times in a season. I like Wisconsin to win this game, to win that game, and to advance to the Final Four. To the Final Four in Atlanta. So I will take Wisconsin over Ohio State in the West Regional Final. Again, I'm not in love with Gonzaga. Gonzaga easily, in my eyes, easily could have been a number 2 seed, and Miami got a number 1 seed. I think Gonzaga by far, when I look at these other number 1 seeds, like Indiana, like Louisville and Kansas, I think Gonzaga is easily the weakest of the number 1 seeds. And again, who do they beat during the course of the year? They played in a weak conference. This is not a Vince Gonzaga team, as far as I'm concerned. They're not. They're not a Vince Gonzaga team. And I just think they were a product of a weak schedule, and they didn't play anybody. They got basically rewarded for beating a bunch of bad teams. But they did go undefeated in the conference, and that probably got them the number 1 seed. But I'm not in love with Gonzaga. I mean, think about how far the ACC has fallen in terms of prominence. Gonzaga goes undefeated in a conference, a weak conference, fine. They win their conference, they win the conference tournament, they get a number 1 seed. Miami wins their conference and conference tournament, and they're number 2 seed. And Gonzaga doesn't have a team, two teams, or three teams as near as good as North Carolina, Duke, or Florida, or North Carolina State for that matter. They don't have three teams on that level that they have to deal with night in and night out. So that just shows you, again, the lack of respect that the ACC currently has right now. When you see a team like Gonzaga accomplish basically the same thing as Miami and not get it and get a number 1 seed versus Miami not getting a number 1 seed. Now Miami had some bad losses. Miami had bad losses that Gonzaga didn't have, but Gonzaga, of course, did not have nowhere near the quality of wins that Miami had. Miami beat Michigan State, okay? So, you know, take that consideration. And Duke. Those are two teams that can get to a Final Four. So, you know, teams being rewarded for not so much the wins, but for the team, but for not losing. Very interesting concept in today's, in the current, today's NCAA. When we return, we'll go to the Midwest bracket. Excuse me. We'll go, we'll finish with the Midwest bracket. We'll go to the, we will go to, as we did in the South, we'll go to Midwest bracket. Yeah, we'll go to the Midwest bracket with Louisville. We'll finish off with the Midwest bracket with Louisville being the leader there. To me, the strongest bracket. We'll finish off with that bracket as we continue looking at the field of 68 on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. Edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we look at the NCAA tournament bracket, 2013 NCAA tournament, which will begin, of course, Tuesday evening in Dayton, Ohio, with the first four games on Tuesday and Wednesday night. And things will, to me, unofficially kick off Thursday, probably sometime around 12:30, where you'll have the NCAA tournament in full swing. First set of games will be in Lexington and Lexington, Kentucky, and also Auburn Hills, Michigan. Midwest bracket, probably the toughest bracket without question, the toughest bracket. When you look at Louisville as a 1, Duke as a 2, Michigan State as a 3, St. Louis as a 4, Oregon as a 12, Creighton as a 7, Missouri as a 9. Top to bottom, this is the toughest bracket. Louisville should have no trouble as the number one seed over either ANC or Liberty. One of those teams will have played in the first four to advance to get to play in Louisville. So Louisville will have no problem with either one of those teams. I like Missouri over Colorado State. Missouri was one of those teams that, again, was ranked early in the season, has a lot of talent. It just never came together. Very, very, very dangerous team as a 9 seed. Again, they have talent. Make no mistake about it. Just this season just out of stuff, didn't come together. I mean, similar, a lot of teams that start out with high expectations that for whatever reason, whether it be injuries or lack of chemistry or just not being able to handle the expectations, just don't meet the expectations. Missouri was one of those teams, but I like them to beat Colorado State and advance to play Louisville in the third round. I like Oregon over Oklahoma State. Oregon was just totally disrespected by the committee to win the Pac-12 regular season and be given to win the Pac-12 conference tournament and then given a 12 seed as if they were they basically one of the last teams to get in. That's what that tells you as a 12 seed. I like them to beat Oklahoma State as a 5 seed. I know Oklahoma State, plays in the Big 12 conference, but I'm not in love with them this year. I like St. Louis over New Mexico State. Going down further down the bracket, I like either Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's to beat Memphis. I'm picking it as an upset. Not in love with this Memphis team. They beat nobody. Their conference is terrible. Don't let that 30-4 deceive you. This is not a vintage. This is not a John Calipari coach Memphis team. They're not that good. Again, I'm picking either Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's to beat them. I like, of course, Michigan State over Valpo, coached by, of course, Bryce Drew. I'll take Cincinnati's toughness and physicality over the offensive juggernaut of Creighton, led by, of course, Doug McDermott. And, of course, Duke will handle St. Albany's. I will take Louisville to beat Missouri and advance to the Sweet 16. I like, of course, St. Louis over Oregon to advance to play Louisville in the Sweet 16. I'll take Michigan State over either Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's. And I will take Duke over Cincinnati, which will set up two excellent matchups in the Sweet 16. Michigan State, Duke. I'm taking Michigan State's physicality. Duke does not handle teams that are physical, and they don't handle size well. And Michigan State's athletic enough to challenge Ryan Kelly at the three-point line. They are athletic enough that this is a better scoring Michigan State team than we've seen in the past couple of years. Izzo can go toe-to-toe with Krzyzewski on any – is one of the very few coaches that can go toe-to-toe with Krzyzewski in terms of X's and O's in the NCAA tournament, so that will not be a big advantage as it normally is for Coach K. So I'll take Michigan State to move to the Elite Eight and take on St. Louis. And you say, Louisville just had this great run in the Big East. How could you take them? Or how could you take St. Louis? St. Louis is a type of team that will give Louisville fits. They can slow down the pace. And, of course, they were coached by the late Rick Majerus. They still implore his defensive principles. They take good shots. They're a veteran team. They have a lot. They are a great defensive team, not a good defensive team, a great defensive team. That game will be played in the 50s. I guarantee you that game will be played in the mid to high 50s. I like St. Louis over Louisville, and I like St. Louis to take on Michigan State in the Midwest Regional Final. I'll take Michigan State because of the physicality and because of the fact that Michigan State will not mind playing a slowdown game and playing a slow game against St. Louis, playing in a physical. And Michigan State has seen that type of style with Wisconsin and certain teams, in the Big Ten. So that pace that St. Louis likes to play at will not bother Michigan State as much as it would bother, say, a Louisville or another up-tempo type team that likes to get up and down the court. I'll take the physicality and the experience of Michigan State, Tom Izzo, and to get to the Final Four. So my final four. I will break down my final four, and also we'll talk some about the surviving advance film from last night. That's coming up, and much, much more in this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. I know Miami has been great on the second end back-to-backs. They're like 10-1. But I just think this is perfectly set up for Boston to take this game, to win this game. Even though I thought the streak would go to like 24-25, I kind of like Boston. I think Boston is chomping at the bit to end this streak that Miami has, going for them. And frankly, this will be Boston will probably be the best team that they played during the streak in a long time, to be perfectly honest with you. I know Indiana, they played Indiana last week, but that was at home. And Indiana, when it comes to playoff play, Indiana would not be a better playoff team than the Boston Celtics. I don't feel. Boston Celtics, of course, have no fear at Miami. They hate Miami. They're not as talented as Miami. But I feel like the streak will come to an end tonight. You can check that out, 8 o'clock tonight, of course, on ESPN. Also, ESPN had the great series of 30 for 30, which all of them has been tremendous. I have to give ESPN, Bill Simmons and company a lot of credit for those series of documentaries, of little mini movies that they've made. Last night, Surviving Advance, telling the story of the 1983 North Carolina State Wolfpack, and it was amazing. It went for two hours. I mean, this time last year, they was telling us told the story of the Fab Five, telling the story of the Fab Five, 20-year anniversary of them going to their first championship and losing to Duke. But this one was just as good, if not even better than the Fab Five, to be honest with you, because it has so many elements in it. just what I, you know, when you look at that North Carolina State team, again, at the time I had no clue. I mean, 5 years old, 1983 was 5 years old. So I, of course, you know, had to watch the highlights and had to see, you know, just my only recollection of it in terms of from a historical perspective was their win, beat them beating Houston. I had no idea that they had to go through what they had to go through, that they almost didn't even make the tournament. I mean, they, you know, they're down North Carolina in that ACC semifinal game. You know, they beat Virginia with Ralph Sampson, who at the time, Ralph Sampson was the biggest thing in college basketball back in 1983, even bigger than Patrick Ewing, to be honest with you. I mean, Ralph Sampson, when he was in college, was, you know, was player of the year three straight years in college, I believe. You know, Ralph Sampson, they beat Ralph Sampson twice in a week, basically. And, I mean, so many of those NCAA tournament games, they could have lost, I mean, easily. You know, they win a game where they're down by six with 2 minutes left. And, you know, Val Vandal's fouling people purposely. So, you know, they hoping that they would, at worst, only make one out of two free throws and or miss both of them. They missed, you know, a couple of them missed, you know, even in tie games. I mean, it's unbelievable. Even in a tie game, think about this. Fast forward into the national championship game against Houston. It's 52-52. Houston has the ball, and Valvano fouls a freshman. And then you hear Derek Wittenberg say, there's no way this guy's going to be in front of, you know, 50 million people watching, national championship freshman. He's not going to make this. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, if Valvano, if any coach did that in today's game, can you imagine a coach fouling another team's player in a tie game in a national championship? He would be vilified. They get destroyed. Even before the result, even with the result, he would get destroyed. Even if they won the game, he would get killed for saying that, for doing that. I mean, just unheard of. I mean, listen, Val Banner was a different type of coach. He was a different type of coach, and he knew he had a pretty good team. Now, they weren't the ultimate team of destiny, Cinderella team, but they weren't a bad team. I mean, Thurl Bailey ended up having a long and very good pro career. So he was the one pro that made off that team. The rest of those guys were, you know, pretty good players. Solid college players, Wittenberg and Gannon, and Terry Gannon, who does some television for ABC, ESPN. So it was a great story. I love the flashbacks of them kind of going, moving forward, where Valvano was at in 1993 versus where he was at and what he was doing in 83. And, you know, the flashbacks where they show him speaking in front of this live audience, telling the story, you know, his mother saying, you know, his mother had Houston plus 8 points. I mean, but I certainly strongly recommend it for not just a sports fan, but just a fan of just quality television in general. But definitely, sir, if you're a fan of the NCAA tournament, suddenly as we, you know, are upon the 75th anniversary of March Madness, and CBS has done a lot of work and done a lot of celebration of that on their networks in terms of some of the great teams, great moments, great players, and what have you. But that, to this day, that is without question the greatest run in NCAA tournament history, without question. I mean, it's not even close, that run from the NCAA, from the 83 NC State team. I mean, that team easily could not have even made the tournament easily. And could have lost at least three of those games that they could have lost over the course of the NCAA tournament. 347-215-6180 is your call number. So we are down to four. I have Michigan State taking on Wisconsin, Miami taking on the Hurricanes in Florida. This will be a great football game about 10 years ago. Hurricanes and the Florida Gators. So I have a 3, a 5, a 2, and a 3. No number one seeds. I don't like the number one seeds this year, to be honest with you people. I'm looking at these number one seeds as I look at the bracket now. You know, Louisville, Indiana, Kansas, Gonzaga, and Louisville, Indiana, Kansas, and Gonzaga. I don't like the number one seeds. I don't. I'm not in love. I'm not in the least bit in love with any of the number one seeds. You know, I just think that, you know, this, I think that this is one, and I don't, you know, I don't have any double digit seeds in the Final Four. Not no real great Cinderella seeds. I don't think it would be a shock if any one of these three teams, four teams, got to the Final Four. to be honest with you. I don't think it would be a shock, but I think you're going to see a ton of upsets over the course of the first weekend. I like Michigan State to beat Wisconsin and advance to the national championship. I think they have more offensive options than Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin can only play one way. I think Michigan State can go. I think Michigan State can play fast or slow. I like Miami over Florida. I've been on Miami for since that Duke game, since the first Duke game when they killed Duke. I looked at Miami differently and looked at them as a possible championship team. Miami has all the elements to win a national championship. Experience, they have size, they have guards, they have guys who can score, they can defend, they have great leaders. Larry Nager is a great coach, not a good coach, a great coach. Great coach. He will not be outcoached in any of these games here, trust me. So that will set up a Miami-Michigan State final. That will be a classic game to watch. Michigan State's physicality versus Miami's flash, so to speak. The point guard matchup, Applin and Larkin, At the end of the day, though, I will take the Miami Hurricanes to win a national championship. Jim Larranaga will win his first national championship and experience one of the rare teams in recent college basketball memory. You have four or five seniors on a team, two or three of them being six-year seniors on a team that wins a championship. So I'll take the Miami Hurricanes to be your 2013 national champions, Michigan State to be a runner-up, and Wisconsin, Michigan State, Miami, and Florida in the Final Four. So that's who I'm taking. We'll see. You have two Big Ten teams, one ACC, one SEC team. And I think you will get two. I think whether it be Michigan State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, I think you're going to get, Wisconsin, Indiana. So I think you're going to get two Big Ten teams, to be honest with you. I think you're going to get two Big Ten teams that will play in the that will be in the Final Four. When we return, we will talk more about the NCAA brackets and the NCAA tournament on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Middle Tennessee at St. Mary's, LIU, Brooklyn, James Madison, Boise State, and LaSalle. I just noticed this. And again, I'm not a Kentucky fan. I'm a North Carolina fan. But St. Mary's was, last time I checked, was a bubble team. Yeah, two bubble teams here. You have St. Mary's and LaSalle. Neither one of those teams won their tournament, their conference tournament, or their regular season tournament, You're telling me Kentucky at 21-11 was not as good as either one of those teams and did not have as good resumes as either one of those teams? You're telling me that. that Kentucky, that you couldn't put Kentucky in the first four. Maybe now, maybe they thought it would have been an embarrassment to put Kentucky in the first four, considering they're Kentucky. But I'm sure Kentucky would have rather had that than to be in the NIT, a number one seed in the NIT. I'm sure they rather much rather had that. I mean, you're telling me, I mean, Liberty, North Carolina A&T, those schools won their conference tournaments. LIU Brooklyn won their conference tournaments. You know. But you're telling me, you are telling me that Kentucky's, that I know St. Mary's doesn't have as good, doesn't have a win on his resume that can, as good as, that like Florida. I know they don't have a win of that quality on their resume. But they only have six losses versus Kentucky's 11. And then, again, that's I look at it as a major, that's a problem. That's a problem as far as I'm concerned. To reward it, to knock a team, to make losses more impactful than wins is a problem as far as I'm concerned. I don't think you can't take the Vanderbilt loss and have it carry more weight than the Florida win. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially when you consider that the Florida win came without Nerlens Noel, who, again, I'll say it for the 10 billionth time, is their best player, by far, not even close. So I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Again, these small mid-major teams that are deserving of making the NCAA tournament, I have no problem with. And it seems like there was a time where mid-majors just had no chance. Now it seems like we're on the other side of the mountain and that mid-majors are getting spots that they probably shouldn't get. Like, they're getting too much respect now. Like, the NCAA tournament is having the committee is having trouble with finding a happy medium. Can't tell me that Kentucky should not be at worst in the first four. Can't tell me that. I mean, look at Virginia. I can make a case for Virginia. I mean, Virginia has more quality wins than the St. Mary's or LaSalle. Well, LaSalle did beat Butler, so I just don't get. I mean, they said this yesterday. They don't take into account conference RPI, so that's not even taken into account anymore when they are talking about these at large bids. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. If you're Kentucky, you should not be happy right now about right now about being left out of the tournament primarily based on that loss to Vanderbilt. You can't tell me if they lost in the semifinals of the SEC tournament, if they beat Vanderbilt, you can't tell me they're not in the tournament. You can't tell me that. I mean, they still had a quality record in the SEC, and they still won over 20 games. Say, 20-win Kentucky team that doesn't make the NCAA tournament, 20 wins, a team that has eight national championships, and they don't make the NCAA tournament. I mean, what must John Calipari be saying to himself right now as he gets ready for the NIT? That is a tough pill to swallow. I can only imagine. And it's happened before. I mean, remember, North Carolina came off a powerhouse year. They had one of the great teams in recent memory in 2009. They followed that up with an NIT appearance a year later. So you go from national championship, dominant team, to NIT. That is a bitter pill to swallow. And this is even worse than North Carolina's, because at least North Carolina was just awful that year. They had no business making it at the NCAA tournament. We would not have, trust me, in 2010, we would not have having the same discussion about North Carolina. We just wondering why they're so bad. Kentucky actually had a pretty good year, all considering everything they lost and considering the injury to Noel. You know, they won 21 games in a Power 6 conference. In a conference, and you know, again, had a quality win over Florida. So, you know, I just need some more consistency out of the NCAA. You know, what if you're going to say, you know, what are you really trying to say? What is really the criteria? Can we come up with one criteria and settle on that particular criteria in terms of what it's going to take for an at-large team to make the NCAA tournament? What do you want teams to do in terms of scheduling? How many, who do they need to beat? Is it bad losses, quality wins? I just need some consistency from the committee year in and year out. It seems to change every year. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Enjoy your NCAA tournament and the rest of your sports week. We'll see you later on the week. Have a great, great night. So long.